The information and opinions presented in this podcast series are based on research done at a particular point in time. The fields of medicine, surgery, psychology, etc. are constantly evolving as new studies and movements happen. Please take into account the year of any particular episode's publication, and as new information presents itself, we will do our best to release updated episodes on the topics. Please be aware that in the following episode, there is reference made to female private anatomy. Listener discretion is advised. Today, I'd like to welcome onto the show the Vice President of the Corpus Christi LGBT, Ambassador for the Hashtag BeHuman campaign, Trans Advocate in Corpus Christi, and overall wonderful woman, Kitana Sanchez. Let's get to the interview. What steps are important to have on a checklist for the ideal transitioning experience for a trans woman?
Well, like I always say whenever I give any kind of speech or any kind of advice, I'm speaking from my perspective and from my life experiences, and I understand that sometimes it might not work for other individuals, so with everything, it's one of those take it with a grain of salt. Whatever advice I kind of give out there, just, you know, also do your research. I know things are constantly updating. So ideally for me, starting off my transition when I was, I want to say like 24, one of the things to do on your checklist is to get your name changed, documents updated. The reason I say this is because I noticed once I got my name changed within the company I was working for at the time at the university, there was a lot more respect. The little talking behind, you know, closed doors or, you know, whispering, that all stopped. They remained very professional because I remember I was in that meeting as well. The manager at the time said, hey, everybody, this is what's going on with her. You know, she's transitioning. This is her name now. We need to, you know, respect her and use the right pronouns. So I believe that that's one of the main things to have on your checklist when you're going to transition is to look into name change. I would say another good thing to have on your checklist, check to see what doctors are available for hormonal replacement therapy. I know in certain, sometimes you have to travel to other cities to get HRT. Recently here within Corpus, not too long ago, we just got a certified doctor to pretty much administer HRT to anybody that came into the Coastal Bend Wellness Foundation. I work closely with the Coastal Bend Wellness Foundation in Corpus Christi. I actually am a co-facilitator for a support group that I donate my time to. So I don't work for the Coastal Bend Wellness Foundation, but I work with them. So I would say make sure you kind of ask around other trans individuals where they go to get their HRT. I know individuals, because I myself too have done, like they said, black market. Don't recommend that because you don't know what your levels are, where they could be, and you don't know what other like pre-existing conditions you might have or what runs in your family. Like for me, I know like diabetes runs in my family. So taking hormones and whatnot and dealing with the liver, you know, there's a lot of medical issues that could arise. So I do recommend going to see a doctor. And the program that we have here in Corpus, they actually work on a sliding scale with you. So if you can't afford the hormones, they work with you on a pay scale somehow. And I know like the results have been great with all the individuals that have had access to that. Something to put on your to-do list or checklist would be see how, I guess, what type of outwardly expression you would want to convey to the world. For me, since I really love being part of that binary of being female, I did my research as far as like, okay, what's, you know, girls wearing nowadays? What's the latest update as far as fashion? Little things like that that could help you through your transition and make it easier. Also on that checklist, make sure that self-care is on there. It's very important to take time for yourself if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling like nothing's going right for you. Just take time to kind of like meditate and go within and see where you need to kind of like adjust yourself in life. As trans individuals, you know, we experience a lot of dysphoria, anxiety, depression. So make sure you keep yourself busy as well. Don't let the fact that this transition is going to be a burden. It's an experience. It's a journey. Make sure you are prepared for that as well, for that journey, because there are going to be times where those emotions will come through and try to bring you down. Another checklist thing to do too is make sure you have people who are on board and who are supporting you. Friends that you have who don't support, or family members that you have who don't support you through your transition. It's hard to eliminate family members, but I always say cutting somebody out of your life who's not going to support you 100% is perfectly fine. Like I said, make sure you do your research when it comes to the medical transitioning part of this. From experience, I've gained weight from the hormones, but by researching and seeing what foods kind of like help with estrogen intake, and also what helps to not bloat as much, because I noticed when I started taking estrogen, I had a lot of water retention. It's not a good thing. So make sure that you get plenty of exercise. You rest well as well. Do make sure that you're getting plenty of rest. You're eating right. You're taking care of your body, because this is the only body we have. We're only given one. So, and especially when you're altering yourself through the transition, it's important that you take care of yourself. A little advice: if somebody who is not within like your immediate circle approaches you about surgical questions or what have you had done, what haven't you had done, it's okay to tell that individual, I'm not comfortable with talking about surgical procedures or what I want done or what I don't want done. If you're looking into getting any type of surgery done, again, do your research on the doctors. Surgeries that can be done are facial feminization surgery, FFS, which softens your face to a more feminine looking form. You know, they shave the brow bone, they can do fillers in your cheeks, they can do rhinoplasty to adjust your nose. For some individuals, they have their foreheads done, they, you know, lower their forehead so it's not so far back. There's jaw shaving, the trachea shaving for the Adam's apple. Of course, there's breast augmentation, there's Brazilian butt lift if you want to have any type of fat injected into your hips or buttock area to give you that more curvy figure. I've read they can like slim your waist a little bit to give you that little indent on the waist so you have what looks like a higher hip bone. What I don't recommend is doing black market surgical procedures such as silicone pumping. Most of the time, those kinds of procedures are done outside of a hospital and not by a medical professional.
And generally, we don't want to be like, yeah, just go get any schmo off the street right to like shove things in your body.
Right, exactly. Because there are people out there who are just ready to make a quick buck. So people who do illegal silicone injection will just use silicone from the hardware store and mix it with baby oil or peanut oil or some kind of oil to loosen it up. And that right there is just an automatic, that's just a death sentence. Yeah. So if you are going to do any type of cosmetic surgery, I highly recommend going to a medical professional, go to a plastic surgeon and do your research on them. Of course, there is the gender confirmation surgery, which means altering your genitals to reflect how you feel, how you're representing on the outside. For trans females, it's getting a vaginoplasty. They have surgeries where they go into your vocal cords and they adjust them. Another procedure that's really good is laser hair removal. Just remember that laser hair removal works on dark pigmented hair. If you have lighter hair color, the laser will not catch it. So that's where you have to go do electrolysis, which is totally different than laser hair removal. Waxing will help. When you get waxed, you stay pretty smooth for me, it was like at least 3 weeks before I saw the hair start to grow back. I've used an epilator before and not my favorite. You could also pluck. I mean, I used to do that. I would get in the sunlight and I would get a mirror and literally like pluck every like hair that I could see on my face. And also too, like on my chest, like any little hair that was there, like I would pluck it out. It worked, but it was tedious at times. And it was just like, you know, breast augmentation. Another one that I've heard that can be done too is having your ribs removed. If you choose to do that one to give you that, you know, hourglass shape, just look into, you know, as always, the after effects, what's going to happen. I mean, look into how is that going to affect your internal organs as well, because we have ribs in order to protect our internal organs. So do your research on that if you want to get that done. With any kind of like cosmetic thing, they have fillers, any type of fillers you want, you know, research them, look them up, see what's going to be best for you.
Do you want to give any advice on prosthetics for people who either can't afford the surgeries or kind of want to put them off?
I have a couple of individuals that use prosthetics. So there are websites that sell prosthetics. They'll sell chest plates, the breast form that you can put on your neck, and it gives you the breast that you want. And then you cover that. You can cover the neck area with like a necklace or something in order to just, you know, have that. Or they sell, like we say, the chicken cutlets. The breast forms individually, where you put a bra and then you can put that in there. So it has that natural look to them and also feel. I've seen, I don't know what they're called, but it's like a belt type thing where you put it on your crotch area and it wraps around, I guess, your lower buttocks and around your waist. There's, oh yes, I met another individual who used, it was almost like a cup that she put over her genitals. It looked like camel toe when she was showing how she put it and how she wore it. Butt pads, I mean, padding, they have them. Hip pads as well. They have different kinds. They have the sofa cushion kind that I always say, because that's how I make them for the shows that, that I participate in. You know, especially for evening gowns and whatnot, if you want that that perfect silhouette. They also sell the kind that are silicone based. They have garments where you can put it on over your body and then you just slip the silicone forms into like the hip pockets and the buttock area. So that way they feel more, I guess, natural if somebody's going to, you know, grab you by the waist. Especially within the bar scene, a lot of individuals get touchy-feely. So for those of you that want to entertain, know that your personal bubble is going to be invaded practically all the time. And it's okay to say, no, don't touch me. I think other people need to respect individual space as well. Nails, you know, if you want long nails, go get your nails done or buy fake nails, put them on.
While I have you here, mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit about the organizations that you work with?
Okay, so I live in Corpus Christi right now. I'm originally from Del Rio, Texas, but moved to Corpus to get my education. Never left. So a couple of the organizations I'm a part of here in Corpus, the main one is the Corpus Christi LGBT. I am the vice president for that. We've been going strong now for, I want to say like 5-6 years. Before it started, it was very small. It was maybe like, actually when it first started, I remember going to the first meeting and there were 3 women on board who were lesbian. So they didn't have the entire spectrum on there. And I just remember mentioning it to them. I was like, if you really want people to like be a part of this, we need to have each letter represented, you know, as much as we can. So we formed that. And then, like I said, we've been going for like 5-6 years now. Look us up online, Corpus Christi LGBT. We are on Facebook. We actually host one of the, I think it's like one of the first Pride events whenever Pride comes around in June. We have Splash, which has been an annual tradition. It's been going on. That one has been going on for like 30 years. But like I said, look us up on Facebook. We have events posted all the time. We raise money not only for our organization, but we also raise money for other local organizations that aren't necessarily LGBT, but that just give back to the community. Another organization I'm a part of is the Hashtag Be Human campaign. And that was created here in Corpus Christi by a mother, a single mother, who was looking for resources for her trans child. At the time, her child was, I want to say 15 or 16, and he identifies as male. So she was looking for resources or other parents too that would come together and maybe talk about the issues that they're facing, how to go about the transition. And she specifically wanted it to be for teens and parents. And then I informed her, there is a call for not just teens, I said, but the whole like, there are people, there are older trans individuals, there are younger trans individuals. We need to get pretty much everybody, all ages together with their families and talk about things. And she agreed. And that's actually how, through the Hashtag Be Human campaign, we raised money and we were able to start a transgender support group. And the transgender support group that I'm a part of is called the Coastal Bend Trans Alliance. We are online. We are a closed group though. So we do, kind of filter who comes in and who doesn't. So do know if you do send us a friend request on Facebook for the Coastal Bend Trans Alliance, we are going to like go through your profile, see who you are, see what you're about, and see if, you know, we can add. I help out a lot with the Texas Riviera Empire. That's actually a nonprofit organization, and they raise a lot of money throughout the year for different organizations, charities. They've worked with, I think, the Rainbow Room here in Corpus Christi, Loving Spoonful when that was going on here in Corpus Christi. With the Texas Riviera Empire, we've also helped with the Homicide Survivors Group. They've come and, you know, asked for help with raising money for their organization. So I have worked with them as well. I've worked with the Coastal Bend Wellness Foundation. Although I don't work for them, I work with them. They're an organization here that they do a lot of testing for STDs, HIV, AIDS, but they also do a lot of wellness work with people who have diabetes, any type of like other illness that people are going through. They provide resources for that. So if you're in Corpus and you're looking for a place to like get tested, or you want like information on wellness resources, Coastal Bend Wellness Foundation coming up, they're actually in the works of making a Pride Center. So hopefully soon, I want to say they said March, but I'm thinking more of here, probably like April, May is when the center will be done. So there will be a Corpus Christi Pride Center, and I'm hoping and praying and putting it out there that I can work for the Pride Center. Especially with all the trans advocacy I do, because I know they're going to need that. So hopefully they'll have a position there where I can get hired and start working on there as well.
Any other places where people can find these organizations online or social media?
Mostly Facebook, I would say, for the ones that I've listed. I don't know if a lot of them have an Instagram, but I know a couple of them do. So look up on Instagram, Twitter, I'm thinking they might have. But yeah, I would say Google would be your best shot.
All right. Well, thank you, Kitana, for being on my show today. Giving us a lot of really good information to hopefully get some of the newer people out there kind of started off on the right foot, and look forward to having you on the show again.
Yes, definitely. I definitely look forward to it. I hope that with our voices, we can get out there and help individuals who feel like if they're having a hard time relating to somebody else, or they're having a hard time talking, I hope we are their voices of reason and we can help them as much as possible.
Please remember to subscribe to keep up to date on new episodes. Check out our resources page on transfieldguide.podbean.com. Stay safe and know that I am proud of you.